This sermon is titled Glorious Church. Be enriched as you listen.
Let's spend some time in God's Word. I hope we are ready. Yes? Okay, wonderful. So today we want to talk about how God is preparing His church. And the key scripture portion is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. And this passage talks to husbands, gives the picture of marriage and helps us understand the relationship, the love relationship of Christ with the church. And from verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So one term that is used is glorious. Christ is working on the church to prepare her as a glorious church. And that's what we want to talk about today. When we understand who our God is, the Bible uses the title King of Glory. And we also read about him dwelling in unapproachable light, right? So he's dwelling in glory in heaven. And that's the God we worship, the God of glory. And this God of glory wants to impart his glory to the bride, the church, which is you and me. So the King of Glory does not wish to leave the church in darkness, under shadows, even though we may feel like, my life is filled with darkness right now. The spiritual truth is that you and I receive the glory of God, and that glory shines upon us, that glory shines through us. And so the church is not a weak entity. Jesus is not coming back for a weak church, a broken down church, a discouraged church, a fallen church, but he's coming back for a strong and a glorious church. He's going to impart his glory to the church, and the church will be shining as it meets the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he wants to do with the church, with you and I, with the body of Christ. So a couple of words that we've seen in this passage. One, glorious, and we understand it means radiance, splendor, majesty, and not weakness. And the other terms are spot, wrinkle. Okay, so this is referring to the tainting with sin. When a bride adorns herself for her wedding day, you would not see the garment spotted, with various blemishes and untidy, because you generally see a really beautiful garment that is pure and very clean. And in the same way, Jesus is coming back for a bride who is without spot and wrinkle. And that's referring to being free from sin. The effect of sin, the effect or consequences of sin in the lives of believers and the church. We also notice the same passage towards the end of verse 27. It says, holy and without blemish. And this means that God is preparing the church as a set apart entity. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And God is preparing the church to be blameless, without any reproach. And that is the kind of body, that is the kind of bride that he is preparing. Now, when we consider the same passage, we notice that there are two things that are important to God at the same time. One is for us to shine the glory of God, but at the same time, God is speaking about being spotless, without wrinkle, being holy, being blameless. And that means we also require holiness. So glory and holiness go hand in hand. Now, you and I cannot achieve this in our own strength. We need God's help. We need His work in our lives. And this very passage reveals to us that Christ is preparing the bride by the washing of the water. And the passage tells us that water is the Word of God. The Word of God that we are listening to today, the Word of God that we spend time with, the Word of God that feeds us. Now, that is the water which is washing the bride, removing every unclean part of the garment and preparing the bride. And so for us to be ready for the return of our groom, we need the work of the Word in our lives. You know, we read so much in Scripture. We read that the Word of God is given by inspiration. And this Word is meant to guide us and lead us in our lives. Now, this Word is profitable. It helps us. It corrects us. It leads us in our lives. And it also helps us renew our minds so that we can order our standards according to God's order. And so through the work of the Word, God will prepare His body. God will make His body ready. We also understand from other passages of Scripture that the Holy Spirit plays a great role in preparing us. And so we need to be open to the work of the Spirit. We are sanctified by the Spirit. We read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. So the Word is preparing us, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is also working in our lives. God wants to prepare a glorious church. So let's just spend some time to understand what glorious church means. So when we look at the root words, the word glorious in this context is endoxos. It's a Greek word meaning in glory or receiving the glory. The word glory, the Greek language, comes from doxa, which again speaks of God's dignity, His glory, honor, praise. And what we are learning here is that God wants to endoxos or put His glory, so that we are in His glory. So the meaning of receiving His glory and manifesting His glory is nothing but revealing the invisible attributes of God. You know, when we experience or when we see God's attributes, such as His power, you know, His power working in our midst, or His love rescuing the sinner, His love restoring someone who has fallen, His healing power at work. We see His invisible attributes. Though we do not see God, what His glory does is it reveals God's characteristics to us. And so when we're saying that the church has to be filled with the glory of God, we're saying that the church must reveal and release who God is, so that when people see, they can tell, oh, the God they worship, He's good. The God they worship is merciful. The God they worship is faithful. The God they worship is omniscient. He knows things. The God they worship is powerful. And so what we're doing is we are displaying the invisible characteristics of God through our lives. The church is displaying the invisible characteristics of God by displaying or manifesting His glory. And that's the understanding of receiving His glory. Many times we use this statement that glory is who God is and what He does. When it is so visible, we say that God is manifesting His glory. And that's the way He wants us, His church, to be. The word church there comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which is nothing but the called out ones. You and I, by accepting Jesus into our hearts and our lives, being born again, are now called out for the purposes of God. You know, set apart for the purposes of God. So the church, it's not a building. The church is you and me. And what the Bible is telling us is that His glory will be revealed through you and me. He's going to make us a glorious church. He's going to make us a holy church. He's going to help us get ready for His return. And so this is what we expect the church to look like, full of splendor and glowing when the Savior returns. Now, why is it important for us to manifest the glory of God? Jesus is always the perfect example. When we consider the life of Jesus, Him being the Son of God, taking on the form of a man, leaving behind His heavenly glory, walking the earth, the Bible, you know, encapsulates His life. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the express image of God, the expression of God. People who did not see God, people who did not directly hear God, by the life of Jesus, they understood who God is because Jesus carried the sonship glory of God. And in John 17, 22, there's good news for you and me, because what the Bible says is that He has given His sonship glory to the believer. You and I carry sonship glory. And if Jesus displayed the glory of God through His life, here's the point. You and I can display the glory of God through our lives. Now, if there's anyone here feeling like, oh, there's nothing much happening through my life, is God really going to use me? Remember, there is a promise of you displaying the glory of God, me displaying the sonship glory of God. And in the life of Jesus, in John 1 verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We saw His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we saw the glory of Jesus, and this is how it looked. Full of grace, full of truth. So when one looked at Jesus, His life, His ministry, they could see the grace of God upon Him. Grace here referring to virtue, character, strength of character displayed by Jesus. Nobody could point a finger at Him. And we also, you know, notice truth. Truth, nothing but integrity, purity, light through His life, His teachings, His conduct, His ministry. And so Jesus displayed His glory in this way. And it was not just limited to this, but we also see the supernatural power of God displayed through His life. He walked in healings, miracles, wonders, deliverances. In the last couple of weeks, we spent time learning about the promises of God concerning healing. Jesus never sent even one person back saying, I can't do this. Everyone who came to Him received their healing. Yes, sometimes they had to stand strong in their faith. There could have been a slight delay, but they did receive healing. And this is the way in which He manifested the glory of God, the sonship glory of God through His life. And today God is looking to you and me to display His glory. We are the ones who need to step out and reveal God's glory to the world out there. There's one thing which is really important for us as the body of Christ, and that is to desire and receive the glory that God wants to impart into our lives and, you know, into our community. Moses is a wonderful example. You know, after having so many experiences with God, it's interesting that his prayer to God was, show me your glory. And then we would just shake Moses up and say, what are you talking about? You know, you have seen this God part the Red Sea, and here you are asking for glory? Because Moses knew that there is so much more of God's glory to be experienced, to be seen, and to be displayed. And so he carried a heart which desired the glory of God. And today, this is what God wants for us to say to Him and, you know, say, Lord, fill us with your glory. Give us your glory. Display your glory. I've seen many wonderful things that you have done in my life, but it's not enough. Show me your glory. And even as we cry out, you know, God will reveal His glory through us. So we will talk about two specific things or two specific points concerning glory. And then in the end, you know, we will take some time to pray. Firstly, for us to ask God to fill us with His glory. Fill me with your glory. Fill us as a body, as a congregation, with your glory. Glory, nothing but who God is, what He does, the display of the invisible characteristics or virtues of God. Now, we understand from Scripture that God always wanted to fill His people with glory. At the time when Moses built the tabernacle, we see that God promised, Exodus 29 verse 43, the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So He promised glory. He never intended for the church to be empty. He didn't say, okay, go ahead, Moses, build this tabernacle the way I have instructed you, and I'm just going to leave it empty. I'm never going to come. He never said that, but instead He said, I am going to fill, or I'm going to sanctify this tabernacle with my glory. And that is God's desire. Now, as much as we are trying to serve Him, He's saying, as you do what I'm telling you to do, I will fill you, I will sanctify you with my glory. Now, we see another passage later on in the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, where there is an attempt to rebuild the temple of God. And at that point, there are many prophecies coming forth where God is encouraging His people and saying, okay, rebuild this temple. So Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, God speaking to the people says, I will fill this temple with glory. So notice, earlier tabernacle with glory and now temple with glory. But there's something additional in this particular passage. Verse 9, God says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. So God wants not just the glory which, you know, Moses and others experienced, but He's saying the glory of the latter temple is going to be greater. And so this is the message we wish to share with us, that today God wants to fill us with greater glory. The tabernacle and the temple are pictures of the church. Now, the church is the spiritual tabernacle or the temple. And so we can claim this passage and say, God, reveal your glory in a double measure. Reveal your glory in a greater measure. So when we say, God, fill us with your glory, what does it mean? You know, it has to do with experience. We're experiencing God. We're experiencing His works in our midst. You know, as He heals, as He answers prayers, as He delivers, as He provides, as He releases breakthrough, what is happening is God is revealing Himself and He is making Himself known. And the revelation of God's glory always points us to God. When there is a genuine revelation of God's glory, it's not going to point us to a man, it's not going to point us to an organization, but it is going to point us to God Himself and turn us towards God and cause us to desire God. And so that is why we must ask God to fill us with His glory. It will point us to who He is. He will be revealed in our midst. His works will be revealed in our midst. Now, in the Old Testament, we see certain passages where the glory of God was perceivable, or the glory of God, in other words, you could say tangible, where people felt it. You know, we can talk about the spiritual senses experiencing the glory of God. We can also talk about the physical senses experiencing the glory of God. When we are filled with the glory of God, we sense. Now, we have examples in the Old Testament of the children of Israel seeing the glory of God as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. So God showed them tangibly His presence and His glory. Even at the time of Solomon's temple being dedicated, we learn that the presence of God, the glory of God, came upon them like a cloud. It was overwhelming to the point where they couldn't even move. But this is how God can even manifest His presence and His glory in a tangible way. For us, people who are part of the new covenant. And the Bible says that our ministry is a more glorious ministry. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. So we've just spoken about the glory of God filling us, which is about experiencing God. Now let's quickly talk about the glory of God being displayed through us. So can you just look at the person sitting next to you and say, God's light is shining on you? Amen. So Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2 tell us this: arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Though darkness may fill your deep darkness, the people, the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen on you. God's glory will be seen on us. In other words, God's glory will be displayed through us. Again, the characteristics of God and the power of God, you and I are going to display it. And God does not want to keep this limited, you know, just for the church. God's great works happening within the church. He also wants the whole earth to see and know his glory. We read in Numbers 14 and verse 21, where it says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So here's what we're trying to say. God will reveal his glory through you and me to the ends of the earth. The earth shall know the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all will see it. And when God's glory is revealed, you know, we also talk about it being a very intense presence of God, where God operates in his sovereignty. Things happen, maybe even before we prayed a prayer, things begin to happen because the glory of God overtakes, and you know, we begin to see it and we also begin to display it. I just want to request the worship team to please come up. So the glory of God, now when it comes to displaying the glory of God, let's talk a little bit about the early church. Firstly, we said God filling us with his glory, which is about experiencing the glory of God. The second thing is displaying the glory of God. So displaying the glory of God is about showing the glory of God. One is experiencing, the other one is showing. So when we consider the early church, there are some features that reveal to us that they were hosting the glory of God. So we'll quickly go through them. The early church walked in the awe of God, the fear of God. And the Bible says it was evident to all. No, in this manner, they were displaying God's presence and his characteristics, his virtues. The early church was not tolerant to sin. In fact, there were times when sin just came out because of the kind of glory which they carried. We notice unity, where people were united in their hearts, in their spirit. And as they prayed, God worked wonders. Great generosity, where they met one another's need, upheld one another. And at times of persecution and oppression, we see God's divine deliverance. God delivers them, even by sending angels. And so the glory of God is revealed in the early church. And we very clearly see multiplication, exponential multiplication, which displays God's glory. So this morning, just want to encourage us to expect glory like this and even greater glory to be manifest in our midst, because God has promised that the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, and the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. So we can expect believers to rise up to manifest God's works, to display the power of the Holy Spirit, display the supernatural, the greater works of God, and also bring about expressions of God's wisdom, knowledge, revelation. Now, this doesn't have to be just within the four walls of the church. You and I can display the glory of God wherever God has positioned us. Now, even at the workplace, or, you know, as Evie said, in the traffic, so we can display the glory of God. But the thing is, we must realize that we are glory carriers at all times, and that God is working on us to prepare us to be that glorious church. In closing, some of the things that we have to look at to prepare ourselves to experience God's glory is to grow up in many things that the scripture teaches us to be important. One, of course, is the Word of God. You know, as we take time in the Word of God, grow in the Word of God, we will also grow in our faith, grow in the manifestation of the supernatural power of God, and also grow in compassion. Now, Jesus looked at the multitudes, his heart was moved, and he healed them, the Bible says. And in the same way, if the church grows in compassion, we'll see so much more of God's work being done. And finally, for us to grow up in prayer and intercession. So let's be a church that is looking to receive God's glory, be filled with the glory of God, and also to display the glory of God. Lord, we thank you that you are preparing us as a glorious church to be filled with your glory, to experience your mighty works, Lord. We thank you that you wish to display your glory through us so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of your glory. Yes, Lord, be glorified, be magnified. May the world know your majesty, your greatness, your power, your love, your salvation, Lord. And Lord, we thank you this morning because you've called us to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Thank you, Lord, that we will shine even in this dark world. Yes, Father, each one of us will shine bright. We will carry your glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for working in our hearts. Thank you for leading us, preparing us to receive this glory. And this morning we pray, Father, may your hand be upon each one of our lives, God. Strengthen us in our faith. And Father, we speak and declare wholeness and healing, health over everyone in Jesus' mighty name. A sickness, disease, any condition, abnormality, we command it to be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, let your breakthroughs, your miracles be performed in our lives, O God. Yes, God, today may we walk in your glory, in your strength. Father, once again, we bless you, we honor you, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. I just want to quickly take a moment to invite anyone who wishes to give your life to the Lord Jesus, not under coercion, of your own free will. If you feel the nudging of the Spirit of God in your heart and you just want to pray a prayer with me to accept Christ, you are welcome to do that. I'll pray a prayer and you can just follow along. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a child of God and help me to live for you. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. If there's anyone here, you've prayed this prayer, you can please let us know. It'll be great if you don't mind raising your hands. Anyone, have you prayed this prayer? Please let us know. Thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else? We've prayed this prayer. If you have, please do come and meet with us. We'd love to share more resources with you to help you in your spiritual journey. Once again, thank you everyone. God bless you. And may the Word of God bless you and lead you in the path that he has for you. So I'll just go ahead, speak the benediction over us. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Yes, Father, just declare your blessing over your people. Let them arise and shine for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.